Halichos olam lo, al tikri halichos ela halochos. Halochos are nothing less than the eternal ways which guide mankind to its eternal destiny. Thank you.
May I thank Rabbi Levitis in the name of the audience. Only a comment before we have the questions, that this should be considered completely as a private discussion, at no comment, whether from the speakers or the audience, should be considered as a proposal towards anything, because we were in a way going a little bit beyond the philosophy behind what the Poisek should do. I also to comment on this topic, whoever has interest on should get the Kisvei Maritz Chayes, where he has Mishpat Heroye and Darke Heroye, will be very enlightening. Also, the Encyclopedia Talmudis now, under the term Halacha, has a most wonderful article that gives all the views going back from the Geonim till the very day. And I think it would be very educational for any Rav to have read this article under the name Halacha in the Encyclopedia Talmudis. Likewise, only the third dimension, the one who presents all the views, mamish, from the whole literature, one would find in Yad Malachi, particularly towards the end, where he gives the Klolei HaGemore, HaYerushalmi, HaRif, HaRambam, and all the others. I think that a Rav, whoever paskens anything, should at least have read these three sources. Rav Friedman.
I'm glad that both of you, Mr. Rabbi Charman Feldman, Rabbi Levitis, you both admitted you're treading on dangerous ground. I think also Rabbi Lubin touched on this question about the involvement of the Halacha, and you certainly gave us the entire picture. And Halacha is still being evolved. But I want to make two points. It's all right for a rabbi to paskin halacha for himself. But when it comes out in public and it is published, we must be very, very careful. I want to make two points. I just want to touch upon what Rabbi Lubin said. He said he never spoke on Simchas Torah. And we couldn't understand why we end up the Torah, Leinikol Yisroel. And the Rashi really says there, Shanoso Libo. If you have the courage, Moshe Rabbeinu had the courage to break the halacha. I did speak to Simchas Torah, and this came to my mind, and I think this answers. I have the courage. Now, I think this is the difference between us and the so-called reformers or the conservatives. They too say we must change and change in the time. The difference is we say, Koveya Itim Le Torah, our time should be according to Torah, they reverse. I say, why was this last pasuk, the whole thing of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the halacha, al tamid bara, of speaking at means the egel azor, one point it made. And I'm almost, you know, everybody thinks what he's saying is unanimous. But I think this answers what I want to say, this point. Only a Moshe Rabbeinu can break the halacha. Only a Moshe Rabbeinu can change the Torah. If we are as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, Ace Lassus of the Sham, that's my Hagdom. Now there appears in the tradition, that's the point, one point that I want to make. You must be very, very careful. The tradition goes out in public. Our children read them too. Here they see Barabba Levitis, and I say he has courage, and those are the type we need. And he said, Rabban Chalo. Then comes another one of our Mismochim, challenges his Halacha, but Rabbi Levitis did not come back. So then when they read this, they say, well, what's going on here? This one says so, and the other one says, I'm talking about, I mean, I've had that experience for my younger generation. Number two, the point that I want to make, he quoted the Meiri, Rabbi Levitis. He also says, Halacha, or the Vemorinke, Halacha, Le Maise. I believe before anyone goes, maybe he does it. I don't know whether he does or he doesn't. Before we go out and publish or publish anything, I think it is our duty with younger upon him. We should consult the older rabbis to see what is perfect or not. I agree the suggestion was made by Rabbi Lubin, and the same thing was repeated by Rabbi Levitis. Now if we do get together and we do have a better halacha, I mean among us, and it should come from us. First of all, it'll encourage learning, you understand? That means a whole lot too. But I would make this too, but that main point, before we go out, you know what I mean, we can easily be challenged by the older rabbis. We must be very careful, and then I would agree to make any change you want. Now, especially Rabbi Levitz made this one point about the Yontif Sheni Shavuot. It's just the reverse. It was taken up by the Agudas Rabbanim, wrote the care. They have come to the conclusion, in spite of the fact that originally the Avelim, they were to be in Sasek Mifai by Yaakov Avinu, his own children, and they're different among them. But we do know there's a lot of Chilul Yontif going on in America because of this, and they want to pass the resolution not to have any funerals at all. So you see, we have to be careful before we come up.
On Yontif Sheni, Rabbi Isai, it may be of interest to know that there is an article collected the opinions of all Rishonim v'Achronim about the possibility of revoking Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. It's an article that came out in the Sefer HaYoyvel for Professor Weiss by Zimmelson, London. And if one has any interest, can find the tshuvas, a summary of all tshuvas on the topic.
Mr. Chairman, I rise to speak with mingled feelings. In the first place, if I wouldn't have known Rabbi Levitis as well as I have been aware of long standing, perhaps I wouldn't believe that he is the author of the statement. I don't know whether I in Baltimore or Rabbi Levitis in Montreal have had some different experiences. But if we were to read this statement without an author, without the name of Rabbi Levitis, and perhaps that's the godless of Sarah, it has to be B'Shem Amarov, I don't think that it would be too difficult to confuse this statement with the statement of a conservative author. It wouldn't be too difficult at all. Especially, and I'm quoting here, when you speak about calling a conference of North American Gedolim to deal with the subject of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. In the first place, when did Orthodox Gedolim ever limit themselves to a certain geographical area and say, we are going to call a conference of our geographical area and decide on something which is again the whole Kal Yisrael, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is again the whole Kal Yisrael and all Golias. Secondly, the moment, Chaverim, that we reach a stage when we feel that the time has come for us to legislate a way, a minhag Yisrael that's thousands of years old, there is no end to what else you can legislate away. And today's paper, really, if it were to be published in its present form, will put this group in the category of conservative rabbis. I might as well be frank about it. Since courage is the order of the day, you might as well use courage too. And I feel not only Chachomim Zohar but certainly Rabbinic alumni, you must be adhering very much that this paper has to be very carefully reviewed by the author himself before it will be published.
Rabbi Silva?
I would like to answer Rabbi Lewis and point out to him from the Meiri that he quoted, and he concludes with Halacha Ve'Merinkin. I don't have the exact wording in my mind, but that's what it amounts to. Why? Why did so many of the Gedolim, often in the Tshuvas, where they say Halacha Ve'Merinkin? In my opinion, naturally, and I think the opinion of almost all, there were a few reasons. moment that each individual felt humble enough to realize that he himself, no matter how great a lama he is, shouldn't exercise that authority, and he needs to have a doubt about it. But there's also another reason. True, they took certain circumstances into consideration, but this is an ever-changing world and a fast-changing world. And because of that, the very circumstances that impel you at the moment you're writing to come to one conclusion before you turn around, and I'm soon going to illustrate with the two things that Rabbi Lewittis mentioned, point out why we shouldn't come to such a conclusion alone. He talked about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius towards the end, and I think I have an idea what he was referring to. And he also spoke about the matter of Kavura, a Yom Tov Shel Golius, and how to handle Avelim and so forth. And here this matter of a fast-changing world comes into hand. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius certainly imposes many hardships. It so happens that today it's less of a hardship than when it was a generation ago. All the unions, and I agree with them, argue for a 30-hour week. Because of automation, because of so many reasons, there's no need to work so many hours. So before you're going to turn around, the circumstances have changed, even those things that may somehow weigh on you. I'm using words. It applies to many other things, so many automatic gadgets that we have, which made the Yom Tov Sheni so difficult to observe, and yet, Baruch Hashem, we know generations did. Today it's easier than ever before. And the same thing I want to point out in this matter of handling Meisim and Yom Tov Sheni. Many of us have the practice that we do not allow in our congregations Kavura on Yom Tov Sheni. Why? The whole purpose was because of his own shemesh. You know, there are methods of refrigeration. I know I had it done in our time. It so happened I live in a community where it is the Chevra Kaddish of the shul that owns the cemetery, owns the chapel, and so forth. So we have refrigeration, and I guess you men know that there are such mortuaries available, and they don't cost any vast fortunes, which makes it very easy to observe. Now, what am I using these two illustrations? Merely to point out that before you rush to a conclusion, it's the other way around. And that is one of the reasons, in addition to the fact that there was so much reverence for Minig and for the Chavis Das of the Gdeli Yisrael, because you come to hasty conclusions, and before you turn around, it's the other way around. And so with all due respect, because Rabbi Lewittis himself, you know, is a wonderful Yoreh Shamayim, and people may get the wrong impression of his remarks, because otherwise he personally is not what his remarks seem to indicate. But now, I mean, the impression of people who don't know may think Taka that the fellow has conservative ideas. But I want to point out that it's the other way around. There is such an interesting cycle in this world, technologically and so forth, that all the chumras are easier to observe today than ever before.
Rabbi Lichtenstein?
I also write here feeling. It's not so much about how to read it, it's about the reaction. I don't know why everybody is getting so excited, or many are getting so excited. I think that Rabbi Lewittis's entire tone is the same as the closing tone of Vindy Uri. A lot of him already came. Don't see him immediately dispatching telegrams to all the adults in North America. There's a union conference right at the end of the convention, so that they should be able to rule on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius or any other problems that he mentioned. The one thing that Rabbi Lewittis did, and frankly, I think he's doing it in tradition, and I believe extremely effective. is breathing a little bit of fresh air into our thinking about halacha and opening up a window, not so that we can jump out, but so that we can let a little bit of the outside world in.
Sure, yeah.
I'm very happy that the convention committee invited him to speak to us on this particular subject. I'm also happy that
to discuss particular illustrations, unless one presented a paper on it and each one was ready with his sources, we can accumulate sources pro and con, and each one who remembers a Gemara or Rambam can quote one way or another. So to discuss a particular topic is out of question at the moment. Rabbi Hamnick, this is...
very much by labeling any theory, giving it a label. I don't think we will gain anything. But I do think that in there are dangers which I would like to point out. Rabbi Levitis used the concept of Rochel Adaphe Noam. He showed great bekiyas. I think my bekiyas is correct. Although we have a machlekes of Abaye Barova, I think the Vilna Gaon pointed out that there are no three topics in Shas that do not have a machlekes Abaye Barova. And yet, there are only two cases where Rochel Adaphe Noam comes in. That's with Yerdum, with the Anafay Tava, and with Hutra and Esra of the Chazir of Hutra. And so if we are to apply a concept like Rochel Adaphe Noam, we have to first think to ourselves why, in all the millions of cases that there appeared in Shas, did this concept only come up twice? And this is a concept which we, if we were to accept it, would apply every single day of the week. So I think we would accomplish more by analyzing in what area did it fit to, why did Abaye only apply it in these two cases, in what cases could it be applied, and I think in this manner we could go further in the approach of Rabbi Levitis.
May I mention that now in the graduate school, where I myself I'm giving two courses, we do as assignments for masters. I say now in the graduate school, where courses, myself and Professor Weiss is given, particularly in the field of Talmudic literature, we do advise for masters and for doctorates to take any of these topics, like a topic of embezzled Yochel Levatel. There is room for any rov to write a degree on it and accumulate, get all the sources, present all the possible views. And then, after all the sources are available, then a moire horror may utilize it, not the one who writes the doctorate, naturally. But if it's available, we do not pick only one Tespes or one Rambam. We have the complete picture of it. You had to...
Why it seems that the postscripts that are alluded to both by the speakers and the commentators seems to me as having more relevance many times than what was said in Gifra. One, I'd like to enter a plea in an introduction to what Hamid said. I think that we're all concerned with the issues that are raised here and recognize how tenuous they are, how difficult they are to grapple with. And I'd like to enter purposely amongst our veterans that we don't confuse the issue by labeling anyone's remarks as being leftist, rightist, conservative, or reformed. I think we suffer many times by refusing to grapple with the issue. And when a father has the courage to present a paper like he did, and to start labeling it, even though we know the politics is my top, or where he stems from and evil, we'll only confuse the issue. It's the postscript about Tamsov Lewis when you mentioned, that was mentioned by Rabbi Silver, which just had a remark, of the end of the Nehiri, as Rabbi Silver pointed out, many of God, and many in Akko, has analyzed the problem thoroughly. He has come to the conclusion in his words, with the rest of Israel, I don't agree on, and this is what bothers me many times in my approach too. I'm very interested in your analysis, Rabbi Silver, that they were afraid to come to a quick conclusion. Yet when I analyze the issue, I'm afraid this isn't what motivated that. When a Tiberius Israel analyzes the problem of, for example, of umbrella and comes to a definite conclusion, there's no basis whatsoever for the issue of the getter of my idea. Of Apophikane, he says, the thermoanalysis, my answer, I don't think it was easier to make a quick conclusion. I don't know what it is, and this is what bothers me personally. And I'd like to answer, Lewis, I'm sure you too are aware of this when you tell us that we should be concerned with the tenor of the spirit of halakha rather than the psak itself. The psak we make a particular case, but to take extract from it its spirit and reapply it. It's that the Golem didn't approach it this way. They stuck to the halakha of the psak. Why, in your opinion, is that? And how can we go against what they were concerned with greater minds than us? This is what perplexes me, and I hope you can help us.
Rabbi Hirschfeld.
I too want to rise in opposition to the remarks that were made at the conclusion of the paper, in which we praised Rabbi Lewis's Fiskit and said it's a good thing he had that as a balance to a conservative opinion. And I think that too often we get involved in labeling opinions rather than investigating it. I, for one, am a little wary of the fact that some of the people today, and I don't say this directed toward Rabbi Lewis, but some of the people today who want to raise some questions about certain doctrines or certain opinions feel that in order to do this, at first they have to become bigger tzaddikim than anybody else, so that their opinion will be heard or listened to or paid attention to. Because they know that very often people will not listen to the opinion, but will first judge the source and then start evaluating the opinion. And I think that it's about time that we started paying attention to the issues that are raised and not worried about whether a conservative rabbi or a reform rabbi mentioned them first. Because if the opinion is valid, then it should be taken up on that basis and not the question of who said it. And there's another thing that bothers me. We talk of the fact that our Gedolim don't give up facts. I could quote names of people in this room who even last night were complaining of the fact that our Bar Halacha doesn't give up stock on that, doesn't give up stock on that. But essentially what we're doing this morning is the reason they don't give up stock. It's because of the fact that regardless of whether the stock is valid or not, there's going to be an attack. And the attack is not going to be based on the question of law. It's based on the question of sitkis or whether this is a conservative doctrine. And I think that if we want our Bar Halacha to give a psak, then we have to learn when a psak is given to evaluate it on the basis of whether it's halakhically correct and not whether it's politically opportune. I would like to add just one last item. We talked about following things up. Rabbi Lewis came out, I think it was a year ago, and raised some question of all the chumras that are attacked convicted. And the question was raised, and there was some discussion. And from the day of that convention talk till today, I haven't seen anybody who is willing to go into the issue, to follow them up, and to see whether anything should be done about it. Now, if we talk about carrying out what a convention says, if we talk about modernizing stock, if we talk about having some validity to modern day, then why isn't that issue taken up? I don't say it should be adopted, but I think that if he raises it and he gives some thought to it, that there should at least be the courage to follow it up and decide, should we do something, should we not? How much of what he says is valid, how much is not? And what basis can there be brought to change it?
Rabbi Volberg, please.
First of all, I would like to come in the very outset that the presence of so many of us this morning is a tribute to the chairman and to the speaker, to the attitude that we have. All of us want to take a walk on the boardwalk, and we stay, because we do have a great deal of respect not only for the subject, but also for our witness and other officers. No question, I think we should have such a platform every year. I accept the proposition for the proposals of Rabbi Lewis with the amendment of the Meiri. Baby smoke alamaisa. This is what we should do. I do believe that a halacha of today may become the maisa of tomorrow. And that may be the God old Talmud, and maybe the demanda. We should not be in a hurry to impose or to try to implement. We can't implement. But a proposal, a discussion, is absolutely in place that we need it, and it may inspire others to do likewise, and eventually implementation will follow, if it is valid enough. Now, why do I say that? Why am I so afraid about coming out halacha lemaaseh? For three reasons. First of all, practical consequences. Rabbi Lewitis, my distinguished colleague, mentioned several times that Rochefo Darche Noam. What will be the consequences of such a proposition? Let us take the example of Bitul Yom Tosheni Shel Goliath. Will that bring the Rochefo Darche Noam? It will create the biggest payroot in orthodoxy in modern times. And some, unfortunately, are just waiting for such a resolution, for such a proposition. Okay, and so what will happen? The Gedolei HaTorah in Israel and in America, I'm not evaluating their doubts. Someone mentioned last night Lachor Yerushalayim, Elamit Nishabizu Batalmide Chachomim. And there is another mimer, Like how we shine it in the skinam, but it's just a show, not just in the zoo, that it's kind of hidden. The Rebbe sees tackle with how we shine, along with the meat, no, with the meat, no, with the meat, 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 I'm not evaluating, but the fact of the matter is that the Gedele, who are the Gedele HaTorah today? The rabbinate is bustling the Mutar. They do not, the Gedele, the so-called Gedele HaTorah, do not recognize the authority of the rabbins, unfortunately. The rabbinate today is of secondary importance. Today, is a Jew who can give a good cheer in the yeshiva, he is the Gorl HaTorah, and to his Talmid, maybe he is the Gorl HaTorah. So as far as the rabbinate is concerned, it's out. They will be after us, after the yeshiva, after Roma, and we will never carry it out. It will not be recognized. Now, how about the Kohol? Who's going to recognize it? The Frum Jews, the Yerei, the Emes of Frum, will listen to the Rosh Yeshiva and the Gedolei HaTorah. Our Jews is not a problem. They need help, 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 and it helps. I mean, do Jews belong to a non-Orthodox synagogue because of the Yom Tov Chinuch HaGolis? The conservative synagogues, as yet, did not abolish Yom Tov Chinuch HaGolis. They don't hesitate to join. If a Jew joins, we have Maharam Shabbos, I said, 30 other speakers, although we have a number of members here from this world. We have an actual Jew who comes to the Shabbos and keep up too. They don't hesitate to join. So the issue is not because of a few humris of human hogim. It will not solve the problem. The Frum Jews will not listen to us. And any Frum Jews will not be attracted. Why will not they be attracted? Because they disregard. This is not a problem to them. They want more than you are going to give them, much more. And they will accept, unless they will need to accept it. I'll show it to you. Take one extreme, Shmirah Shabbos, and the other extreme is mixed seeds. Mixed seeds present no Messiah status to the American Jew. And look what a spirit of dumbing one rabbi after another has. What a payload they created in Jewish life. We didn't create a payload. The non-Orthodox Jew can come to an Orthodox synagogue. As I once stated, I want a shul where not only his father can take his son, but the son can take his father to the synagogue, where the Rambam feels at home. Yeah. Look what they are doing because of mixed seeds. And in other words, if you are going to make it easier for the Yom Tov Chinuch HaGolis, they don't want to bring any sacrifice if he's in that category of the religious Jews. On the other hand, they insist on more than that. These conservative Jews, they want Shmir Shabbos changed completely. And this is a question, Lo Yachlifenu, never mind, somebody said, Moshe, only Moshe Rabbeinu can change. Moshe Rabbeinu can change. Since when can Moshe Rabbeinu change?
Big one, I said.
Totally
a big one.
No, Moshe. I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu can change it. We will solve no problem. The Rabboni will not recognize it. The Frumi Jews will not recognize it. And the non-Orthodox Jews will not be satisfied because they either don't want to bring any sacrifice to satisfy halacha. And therefore, I say, but halacha is important. We should penetrate and we should talk about it and we should do everything possible. Someday they'll recognize it. In conclusion, I'm awfully sorry. In conclusion, one remark. We're making one fatal mistake in our discussion of making halacha relevant. We keep on emphasizing kulis. We fail to see one thing. After all, the Prophet HaKasha, how come that for the last centuries all the rabbinic authorities were the Humre and not the Kula, which is contrary to halachic tradition, Kefa the Hakeira or other? It's a fact, except in halachic Humre. There must be something to it. I'm not trying to justify it, but there is something to it. And the fact of the matter is that if all these Gedolei Rishonim were alive today, they would concentrate more on Humres than Akonos. This generation needs more Gedolei and Akonos than any other generation before. Maybe in time, in biblical times, yes, but but since then, we have lived separate lives. There was no need for Humres and Negei Humres. Today, the Sakone for Kiyum Hayahadus is so great that we ought to pay attention to some Takonos. It will psychologically also have a better effect. We need Gezeros today, with our children, with education, with Shabbos and with Yantif and with Kinnur. We need new Takonos too, so why always emphasize the kudos when there's a tremendous problem and tremendous need for Gezeros and Takonos?
One more.
Back to the Shabbos talk, but I want to say many things to be said. But I would like to mention on one thing. What is the definition, the cloud,
I am Pedro, you for the Rattle, as Pedro for my head, a good man of I am Ben Yuchla Battle. I mean to say you too, but you meant I am Ben Yuchla Battle as Ben Kavairoi. El, you came Rudel Memene, but Hormu Memene. What is the definition for these few words?
May I interrupt?
Let's say,
a definition for it must take a minimum of an hour. It is not possible to give a definition unless it's impossible.
I don't want to mention one point. And in order to clarify many statements I've already just mentioned, the fact is, with all the respect to Rabbi Levitius, which I like, or his subject, but he mentioned one thing that Ben Abedin. Greater desire as a civil or a gewissen civil to a civil. If the civil involved,